So thank you, Rick. So we're going to close it out with a few more, a couple more slides on some of the impacts that we anticipate once the changes take effect next year, and some factors that, you know, we offer up for you all to consider in planning for those impacts. You know, before I go further, I just want to say first that, you know, we recognize that state and local governments have already been dealing with some pretty significant changes already, resulting from a weaker export market for U.S. recyclables in general. And so, you know, I realize that much of what I'm about to say about impacts is probably familiar territory, you know, but, you know, we just wanted to identify some of the key points that you might want to take into consideration, you know, in terms of what the impacts might be on plastic recycling in your jurisdictions. So first, you know, we think that there's going to be really a lot of confusion among the regulated community on what requirements apply and how to comply. You know, there's the technical questions about the scope of waste that the new requirements apply to. You know, what types of plastic scrap and waste are covered by the new amendments. But then also, you know, questions about the procedural requirements that apply that Rick talked about, you know, prior notice of consent and the tracking requirements, the international movement documents and the confirmations of receipt and recovery. You know, it's going to be pretty challenging for the regulated community to learn all these new requirements since these are folks, you know, that are, you know, generally dealing with non-hazardous scrap and waste. And so all this will be completely new to them since, you know, those requirements in the US only apply to imports and exports of waste regulated as hazardous under RCRA. And then, you know, we also anticipate there's going to be situations where we receive export notices from other countries, you know, that want to send an export plastic scrap to the U.S. So they'll require a notice, even though, you know, EPA doesn't regulate that material. And so because we don't regulate it, we'll issue what's called a neither consent nor object, which is essentially a consent, but it'll be another step in the process for importing plastic scrap that's never happened before. And so there's, you know, going to be time, you know, involved in doing that administrative process that material, you know, never previously had to go through. And so, you know, as a resource and to help guide the regulated community, you know, during the transition and beyond, we've developed a webpage providing information about the new requirements with frequent questions and answers to guide exporters and importers on what they need to know and how to comply with the new requirements. And, you know, we're doing outreach. So we include this in the slides for your reference, encourage you to check that out. Okay, and so another major impact that we anticipate here and that Rick already stressed is a dramatic you know, curtailing of the market for U.S. plastic recyclables. And, you know, while it's true that we've already seen this with the implementation of China's strict import restrictions, and as Rick mentioned, what makes these changes different and potentially more dramatic for trade in plastic scrap is that these changes are pretty close to global. It really is almost all countries applying some very strict requirements collectively. And because of the party non-party trade prohibition, it really will, you know, impact U.S. prospects for trade in this material. And so, you know, for you all, you know, one factor to consider when thinking about the impact this will have on your state or municipality, you know, is where the end markets are for plastic scrap that's collected in your community. And if the material is exported, you know, are end markets OECD or non-OECD countries? And if it is non-OECD countries, then those export opportunities will probably no longer be available unless those exports meet the criteria described in the Basel B3011 listing, you know, which are pretty restricted. And so with respect to impacts on U.S. recycling programs, we're anticipating, you know, significant adverse effects. You know, recycling programs have, you know, previously benefited from the revenues from the sale of higher value plastic scrap exports. And, you know, we recognize that those revenues have already significantly declined since, you know, China and other Asian countries have already started to restrict, you know, export the imports they take. But, you know, these changes will, or these, the revenues will continue certainly to decline. And so, you know, recycling programs won't be able to benefit as much from those revenue sources. And so we mentioned this just so you keep it in mind and, you know, in your planning. Okay. And with exports a less viable option, you know, we anticipate that there will continue to be more attention inward on the current state of plastic, you know, processing capacity in the U.S. Some questions here to consider in planning for these changes include how to address factors that affect the composition and quality of plastic scrap, like contamination rates, keeping in mind the new Basel requirements, and whether it's economically viable to process plastics to meet those new Basel criteria. And finally, because all these changes, you know, we'll see decreases in plastic recycling, or I should say U.S. exports for plastic recycling at least, and we're likely to see increases in landfilling of plastic scrap in the U.S. And so that's something to consider continuing planning for, you know, the management of plastic scrap that was previously exported for recycling and that may not be economically viable to recycle in the short to medium term. That said, we know that, you know, the economics of plastic recycling vary across the country, and some areas are already seeing an, you know, an increase in recycling infrastructure, investments in recycling infrastructure, while others are seeing more of an increase in landfilling. But overall, I think, you know, we're anticipating an increase in disposal, at least in the near to medium term. But to conclude, we do hope that, you know, all of these changes will eventually lead to more incentives to increase U.S. plastic processing capacity and to help make strides towards improving the U.S. recycling system overall. EPA recently released its draft national recycling strategy, which identifies ways to strengthen the U.S. recycling system. And so, you know, if you're interested in learning more about that effort, I'm sure many of you are already aware, but here's a link where you can read the strategy and provide input. I believe comments are being solicited until December 4th. Rick and I are not directly involved in this effort since we focus on the international side of recycling and waste management issues, but our colleagues are working really hard, and it's something to keep in mind, and we encourage you to read more about it. And so with that, that brings us to the end of our presentation.